Welcome to Story Break, a writer's room podcast where three Hollywood professionals write an entire film week by week, page by page, one scene at a time. You're hearing the laughter of my co-hosts because Matt said something really that brought the mood down right before we started. But that's let's not worry about that. My name is Freddie Wong.
I'm Will Campos. This is going to be a wild one. Let's do it. Let's get weird. Let's do the movie.
I'm Matt Arnold, and I think Freddie slept less than me, but I didn't sleep very much either.
I want to throw one more thing.
I drove my baby at like 5 miles per hour because I was like, I'm a little tired, and I don't want to crash with my baby in the car.
You have a baby.
I have a baby, everybody. Beautiful little girl.
So,
named Dorothy. Dorothy, the median age of my brother sent me this, the median age of Dorothy's. Is 75. He's like, congrats. Or maybe it was 65. He's like, congrats on your unique name. I was like, that's so good.
She's the Malcolm Gladwell's outliers of Dorothy's.
What month was she born again?
February.
It's like the 17th. Not going to play
hockey. Yep, not going to play hockey. Anyway,
that's a deep Malcolm Gladwell cut for all you blink heads out there.
That means like before, just the way medians work, that means before Dorothy was born, the median age of Dorothy's was like 1,000.
All the Dorothy's were like, what's happened? A new one came.
We sense a disturbance.
Anyways.
In the Dorothyverse.
She's the real
Now
outlier.
She has to decapitate all the other Dorothy's become the Highlander.
Time she can wield the Highlander's blade, most of them will probably have sloughed off the mortal coil.
Yeah, no, once she turns 1 year old, we'll get a knock on the door and there'll be a legion of Dorothy's being like, come.
You're a Dorothy. I know.
I have an idea for a startup.
Oh, can we talk about Freddie's big email thing? Freddie got thrown onto the wrong email chain.
Oh my God. I'm going to make a slight addendum to the intro.
By the way, there's a weird cut here because we doxed somebody.
Accidentally, we doxed someone.
You guys missed a really funny bit, but it's not funny unless we dox somebody. So,
whoops.
Here's the addendum. This episode has a weird energy.
Here's the addendum to the beginning. Entire film, week by week, page by page, one scene at a time, in under 1 hour, because we've let that slip. Here at Story Break Industries, we've noticed that the standards have been a little lackadaisical lately. The line foreman came in and said, hey, we letting these storyboards just write for hours. Our editorial team can't keep up with all the hours of just rambling they're doing. Half the time is just silence as they sit staring at their computers, typing away. Will slamming on the keyboard. Matt looking at prequel memes.
Are you wondering if this is problematic or not?
No, I'm like, is this Strong Bad? Like, is Strong Bad or...
Yes, this is Strong Bad.
Foremans aren't only slave era, right? They're still a thing.
What?
Foremans?
Yes, you have foremans. It's like a... Yes, it's
I
a
never
term.
Did any job, any real job. I worked at a pizza place, and so then I became a YouTuber with Freddie, so...
No.
I'm one of those elites.
Sorry, George Foreman, who is the one...
That's a lot less weird that was your George Foreman impression.
Anyways, okay.
Oh, boy.
68 fights by KO.
Okay,
all right, here's the deal. We're doing 1 hour because that last episode, let's be honest here, ran a little long. We tweak. We always tweak. We always listening. We tweak. We improve.
The problem is we care too much. As we start moving through this, we started caring too much.
Mm-hmm. I had to remind myself last week after last week's episode that I'm like, it's okay if it's a bad script as long as it's a good podcast.
Yeah.
So I think we're going to start enforcing the clock once again.
I brought our good friend... The clock in.
Hello. I count time. I'm based off the rotations of a cesium atom. Hello.
That's my clock voice. That's my very little sleep voice. The movie we're trying to write right now, folks, is a movie, little ditty we call Heaven Heist. This is a story about a crew of criminals that are robbing the Bank of Heaven, those dastardly bros. Like, they're going to get in trouble for that. Or will they? That's what we're here to find out. Let's start. Will, Matt, get your fucking asses in gear because we're about to slam this mofo into overdrive. Shaboom, the clock starts. Here we go. One.
Okay, so in the previous very boring scene was Jin said we're going to rob Heaven in order to save themselves from Miss Wonderful, who's the mobster who they owe money to. And none of them believed him and ran away. And then Tequila gave him like a, hey, you know,
hey, at the end of the movie, after you've grown, you're going to be like, a wise man once told me that yes. I should get busy living or get busy dying. And then the audience is going to know that you're calling back to this moment where you yes. said I was stupid, but now they know you've completed your arc and you're a good guy.
Yes. He essentially was like, you have a chance to go clean. The important part is that he was like, I know you're not that. You're not going to be a great criminal because you saved an old lady instead of making money. I know who you are deep down. And Jin is too immature. Jin's like, no, I'm a badass. I could kill 20 old ladies, old man. I'll do it. So that's where we're at. So now it's going to be, how does he convince them to...
Well, yeah. So then it kind of ended with Jin staring out at the lights of Hong Kong, fishing, soaking wet money out of the river, and then saying, golly gee willikers, I just want to do this heist, but how am I going to do it? And then he looked meaningfully at his phone, which was ringing. And also, we heard from a lot of people about a sort of glaring CinemaSins-esque plot hole where Jin already got rid of his phone, and then he had a phone again. So I'm saying that maybe that's like, we're going to retcon that to he's looking through his wallet, and he sees a picture of his brother. At any rate,
I already know how to fix that. This could be the scene we write today.
Yeah.
Is you cut to Under the Water Mask style, and he's picking up money. And then what's that in the river? His phone. That he threw and somehow lay in the river and has gone downstream. And so then we have a whole scene where he puts in a bunch of bag of rice and he's hoping that it works. And then the moment he finally turns it on, his brother's like, I've been calling you for 2 hours. Like, oh, sorry, bro. I dropped my phone.
Okay,
in the river.
Perfect. That's what happened. Okay. All right.
So that's what happened.
So anyway, but so he got this idea. Like, I got to go. Essentially, the implications. I'm going to go talk to my brother about heaven stuff.
As this,
do you
want to
write a difficult family scene, or do you want like cut to like Brandy and Cognac like at an arcade, like hanging out?
And they're playing the latest Bimani rhythm game. And they're like, wow, you guys are really both insanely good at rhythm games, huh? How's that work?
I know we're on the clock, but no joke. I was at an arcade the other day, and I saw playing one of those crazy rhythm games. And it was like, in Star Trek, they make this big deal out of like one of the ways they show Data is like super duper smart as he plays this crazy 3D game that he like beeps and boops and it looks insane. It was like that times 20. Like the guy was like tapping 12 buttons and spinning knobs. There's this kaleidoscope of light on screen. It was mind blowing. It was very cool. Anyway, that has nothing to do with anything. Let's dive in. Okay, so yes, we're like, we're like 4,000 pages into this thing. We haven't met the brother yet. We need to meet the brother. We're meeting the brother today.
Yes. Okay.
How and I Met Your Brother.
Are they getting dinner at Ashton's?
We were gonna save Ashton's for a later scene. Yeah. Like okay. They had the mobsters plan out their heist.
Like
at
maybe
Ashton's.
His low point is that he's having.
Oh, maybe a big, he has a
juicy
scene.
Burrito with a spoon of guac that comes free. You always get a spoon of guac at Ashton's.
It's like in Dodgeball when he meets Lance Armstrong. Do you remember that?
Yes,
like a scene
yes,
doesn't
exactly.
play great now, but like it's
oh,
like,
Ashton actually shows up.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Is you get an Ashton Kutcher cameo.
Ashton's like, you want some guac? A spoon comes into frame with a bunch of guac on it.
So basically, like, hey. Right now, what Matt and I are trying to do is front load the episode with as many funny jokes as possible, so that when
what
this turns
Ashton's,
into us just going and
what
over
if Ashton's like, hey, at Kutch's, guac is free.
Okay. You know, like Chipotle.
You know what I mean? Like, and that's yeah. his way of like destroying Chipotle immediately.
Okay,
he's like,
we need to move on.
He whispers, we just added to the price of the burrito. So
Freddie, we don't have time for these very funny Ashton Kutcher riffs. We have a fucking scene to write. Okay.
Well, then write it. Let's go.
Okay. All right, so he comes home. Why was his family calling him in the first place?
It's family dinner night.
Okay, so he's
we would have
late?
That. We would have that all the time. Every Sunday we get. You know,
oh, okay. So that could be a good like. He comes. He shows up and like the dinner's already done, but like his dinner is like in the oven or like whatever, like staying warm. And it's like,
do you do like if you're late to family dinner? Is there like a funny thing you have to do? Hear me.
I see.
So I do this thing called Young Storytellers in L.A. It's like a whole volunteer thing. You teach kids.
Oh my God, yeah, you're a good person, Will.
We teach kids. I'm going to heaven is what I'm saying. We teach kids how to write screenplays and stuff, but like you only have an hour with the kids. So like there's always a punishment if you're late. So if you're late, you have to do the chicken dance is like the thing. Or like then we've always said like, oh, if you're late, or you can get out of the chicken dance if you do a freestyle rap about why you're late. So
that
like,
sounds like hell. I would rather you hit me as a little kid.
That's well, maybe not the little kids. Oh, actually, the little kids have to do the chicken dance too.
Oh my God!
It's the chicken dance. It's fun. You sing the song and clap. It's fine.
Chicken dance was literally traumatizing for me as a
chicken
kid.
Chicken dance.
Okay. Yeah, you never did the chicken dance.
Will is moving his elbows
clap,
around.
Clap, clap, clap. Yeah, it's like yeah. that. It's I mean, you do that like twice,
and then you have to shake your butt.
I do that over a freestyle rap.
Freddy does the chicken dance to, you know, spice things up in the bedroom. Yeah. So, you know, he's,
I do that to spice things up on anytime, anywhere, baby. I'll do it in public, my shirt off. Will doesn't like it. I can get rowdy in public, and Will doesn't like it.
Freddy gets very rowdy in public.
You know, you see those dads who are like too loud, and they're making jokes too loud, and they're laughing at their jokes a little too loud. I'm that, but I'm not a dad.
Freddy turns into Denzel Washington in Training Day whenever he's about to get food. Yeah.
Okay.
Like, he just turns into, he's just very excited.
All right, let's do this.
All right. Yes. He comes home. He's going to have a scene with his mom and his brother. His goal is to, like, grill his brother about heaven, right? Like, that's what we're saying. Like, he is starting to think of, like, how am I going to put this job together?
And it's going
to
look like he's got this newfound spirituality.
So he's going to be like, do people ever come back from heaven? Like, you know, is maybe like, what are the 10 questions he's going
to
ask, right?
Yes, I think if we can figure out what's the one problem he can bring to them. Like, you need to narrow it down to, like, he is even uncertain about this crazy idea. Like, he's like, maybe this is stupid. What am I thinking? Like, I can't go to heaven and come back over and over again. And like, yeah, if I go to heaven to do a heist, when I not go to heaven? So, like, what's the thing he can get from his brother that then he can bring to the team that he's like, I'm ready to go. Like, let me show you this.
Yes.
Whatever that is.
Yeah, it's either like a loophole around the thing, or it's knowledge that he can get away with it, or
his brother gives him an artifact that he found because he's like a religious version of Indiana Jones.
Oh, you know what? Okay, this is maybe not this, but like the idea of like some kind of like religious ornament or something like that. He's like, here's my prayer beads. Or if he like yoinks his brother's prayer beads or something, and it's like, these are imbued with karma, right? Like when you take one turn around the old prayer beads, you're saying, you know, the, you know, Omani Padme Hum, all that stuff, right, all around. It's like the equivalent. It's symbolic of Buddha's journey. I believe some sort of Buddha's journey to a mountain. Boy, am I flying real blind on this one. But just somewhere in my deep recollections of religious studies, right? So the point is, like, the brother probably has these like pretty holy ass prayer beads. You know what I'm saying? So if you got that, that's your ticket in, baby.
So what he's gonna, I don't know how that works. Just says the prayer bead. Okay, so here's what's tough about this scene, and I maybe think we did an oopsie and kind of painted ourselves into a weird corner.
Yeah.
Like, it feels like the way to address all of this stuff would be like he tries to go back to heaven, and then he winds up going to hell or something like that. Do you know what I mean? Like, it feels like the way for them to figure this all out is like through experimentation, right? Like, the brother has not been to heaven. The brother does not know.
Again, a good obstacle would be he comes back in the second time and they're like, whoa, what is this? Like, okay, save an old lady, boop, all good. And now you killed yourself to rob heaven. And then he starts falling into hell. And like, before he, like, he's like, you know, tumbling into the abyss.
Then he gets pulled out and revives him,
he's like, oh shit, like, we got a problem. Now I'm going to hell every time I come back in here. But then that's like, how interesting is that going to be to change?
Maybe this is really
stupid. But it's like, he asks his brothers, like, how bad of a sin is trying to rob heaven. He's like, what? That's not a thing. It's just theoretically. Let's say there was a heaven.
Like, okay, like, let's just lay out the sins here. Punching someone, pretty bad. Killing someone, worse. Wanting to rob heaven?
I mean, it's greed, but it's like, I mean, heaven's like, you know, money's not the most important thing up there. Like, you know, it's probably about as bad as like punching somebody. It's like, okay, how many good sins? Like, I mean, what I'm getting at is like, is there a montage where every time they come back and
they're
they
all
know,
like, taking volunteer work?
They literally
and
have
stuff
to go
like
do
that.
A bunch of volunteer. So yeah, there's a montage where they're all doing volunteer work, and then like once they volunteered for like 40 hours and they die, they like barely balance.
Should
odds.
We bring? Okay, so this brings up something then that maybe we should have brought up rather. Maybe we can lay a fucking stake in the ground and be like, we're gonna go back and do this. If you had that tequila was like, dumbass, what do you think is gonna happen if you rob heaven? You're gonna go to hell. So like, why would you? It's not worth it. It's not worth it to steal all that money because you're going to get punished by going to hell. You know, Jin is not giving up. He's not convinced by that. He's mad. He's trying to mull it over. Maybe that's something he's thinking about. So then that would motivate him asking his brother this question, right? So he's like, how bad would it be to steal from heaven? And he's like, what do you mean? And he goes into like, if you could, you know, like, all that money goes up. If you could steal it, like, how bad would it be? And he's like, well, you know, the way karma works, you could do it. But then if you did enough good stuff, like, with the rest of your life, like, it would balance it out, right? And like, and you would still be, it would take a lot. You'd have to live a really good life. He's like, yeah, okay, but you're saying I could get away with it, right?
Yes.
Because if I took all that money and then donated like a lot of it.
I guess the question is, how interesting is this part of it? And if it's not that interesting, we could sidestep it with like a fun world building thing in heaven where it's kind of like when you get that stamp on your hand when you go out of the park. It's like he comes in and he's like in line, like, wait, weren't you just here? It's like, oh, I was like, oh, let me guess, coma going in now. No, we already scanned you. It's not, it's like, this is too much fucking effort. Like, it clogs up the line bureaucratically. Like, you know, you've already been, and then if he's gone too long, eventually you could do that. It's been suspicious.
Oh, okay. You could do that. There's
Matt, can I just say it's so awesome and adorable that your point of reference for stamps on your hands to get let back into something is not, as a 30-year-old plus male, like a club or something like that. It's the park. It's the amusement park where you can get a stamp.
You have to get into a club first for them to give you the stamp.
Good point.
I got a stamp once and just said, "Do not let enter." I was thinking you could even do like he's not certain how it's going to work, but he's desperate, so he kills himself, and then he's back on the boat, and then he looks. And like on his hand, it's like,
sure, yeah. But how does that help us in this scene? With those, like, I'm trying to.
It helps in that it's now a dead end that we don't have to deal with. And like, what is the scene about? As opposed to, is the scene about like just him like discussing ahead of time?
We can figure that out later because ultimately he's going to need to try this again, right?
Yes. So this, I feel like the scene after this is going to Whiskey to being like, I want to try this again.
Yes. So how do we get from A to B? Okay. So yes and off of our last scene, we were like, he's like, I need more information about this, right? Like, essentially, he's like, how am I going to do this on my own? And then he's like, aha, my brother's a Buddhist monk. Like, that means he has to have some question he wants to ask his brother. So what is that question?
It's like, I don't know if he needs to come into this conversation with the thought of like, I have these logistical problems that I'm going to think about. It could be he soaks in what Jin said and he's maybe thinking of leaving. Like, and this is the one moment of hesitation before he sees Anna.
Okay, so you're saying it would be a retcon of making the last moment a little bit less like, aha, I'm going to go talk to my brother, and more like a
pensive. Yeah, because right now
what should I do, you know? Yeah. And then, like,
I guess I should go to family dinner.
Yeah, like, or he's mulling. Okay, so he's in doubt. Okay.
He's in doubt.
Okay.
Like that movie, Doubt. Did anybody see that movie?
No.
I didn't see that movie. Not a great name for a movie. It's like,
Doubt.
Can't wait to see that. Now, Mrs. Doubtfire.
That's a movie.
Put fire next to that word. And now it's.
You can add fire to pretty much any movie title and it becomes better.
That's true.
Schindler's Fire List.
Forrest Gump Fire. Forrest Fire Gump.
Forrest Fire Gump.
Forrest Fire Gump. Holy crap.
Story breaks back.
All right. Okay. So he's coming in. What's his goal? What's his goal in the scene?
What is his family life like?
Do they know he's a criminal? Does he lie about to his mom?
We were talking about that. Maybe you see it on the news and his brother knows he's a criminal. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we're talking about the oh, man.
Okay, maybe the scene is as simple as, like, he wants his mom to think that he's doing...
Oh. I have an idea. Mm-hmm. What if you do? He's got that $5,000, right? Essentially, he's coming to the house, he's going to say goodbye to his family and run away.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say that's essentially where you ended. He's decided to do this. And so then what you do is, he has dried out the money, he's going to hide the money in the house to give to his mom as a way to be like, you know, like, and then leave. Yeah, what would be the obstacle that would keep him staying? Because, yes, then you're right. You essentially do the scene ends with him deciding he's going to.
Okay, well, what would be fun, like a fun little scene would be like, what's the obstacle to that? It's like, okay, he wants to go say goodbye to his mom. He wants to do it in a way that makes her feel good about, because she worries about him all the time. So, like, what lie does he construct as to where he's going? And then the TV being about this chase is a fun little obstacle. As like, oh no, the like last thing I want is like my mom to know I was a criminal and I'm on the run right away or whatever.
So he's gonna tell her that he got a new job in Cincinnati.
Yes, and the obstacle is his brother's not having any of this bullshit. He's like, really, what's the company's name, you know, sort of thing. And his brother's not buying it. And then this TV turns on. And he's like, oh, we should turn off the TV. And I was like, oh no, I love high speed car chases. What's going? What idiot thought he could run away from the cops and whatnot.
I've had a good high-speed car chase in Hong Kong in a while.
And he agrees with his brother for once. His brother's like, oh, come on, mom, no TV during dinner. He's like, yeah, exactly what my brother said.
Okay, I like all that. That's good. I'm jamming on that. I like this conflict. I like the TV. I like him wanting to say goodbye. You know, and he maybe lies about how long he's going to be away for.
Yeah.
What
do they think he does? What does his mom think he does?
Phone salesman. You're always getting these new phones. It's you got the newest one all the time.
Okay.
Yeah, mom, I work for Apple.
Yeah, it's like he always has these. He has like a whole pile of burner phones. It's like, he's like, yeah, okay. I sell these phones.
Yeah, right. Phone salesman. Does he's, the brother think he's a? And again, we were talking about the idea that it's his older brother who's a monk who, you know, followed the holy path in life, but never stood up for him as an older brother, right? Yes. Like, you know, like was never there to protect him on the rough streets.
A little bit good, bad, and the ugly.
I mean, I could see the situation being like the brother's like, you definitely make too much to be a phone salesman, but also I don't judge. So when you want to talk, I'm here for you. You know,
is his brother like even like pious towards him, or is or does his like,
yes, we gotta kind of drill down on the brother, because again, and we were also talking about like that Jin is very aloof and mysterious, and it feels like his family would be warm and affectionate.
Yeah,
and the brother wants, you know, if anything, especially because the emotional relationship is going to be with the brother, not with the mom. So it's like, is the brother worried about Jin's mortal soul? Right? Again, it can't just be like, I'm going to do this for my family. That can't be the end of this scene, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it just feels like Jin's motivation isn't so selfless as all that.
I like the element that they kind of grew up on the streets. And now the mom has, you know, now they have a place to live, and it's mostly because of Jin. Like, Jin, his life of crime has gotten them enough money to no longer be homeless or whatever. Like, they had a tough childhood. And again, that's that's the resentment between him and his brother. Like, his brother's response to this tough life was moral, and I'm going to become a monk and, you know, become enlightened, and, you know, I'm not going to let these horrible things. But again, that was a form of retreat to some degree as well. And Jin went to the life of crime. He was like, I'm on the streets, I'm going to do this, I'm going to, you know, defend, I'm going to fend for us or whatever.
Can I throw something at you? It feels like if this was not about heaven, the turn here would be, he's like, ah, fuck, I'm never going to get into that bank. Mm-hmm. And then he goes to dinner, and his brother just got a job at this bank. And he's like, or his brother works at the bank, and he's going to try to charm his brother into getting him an interview for a job at the bank.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, he's got to convince his brother that he's changed and he's reformed his ways and he wants to be a good guy now. And his brother's going to be like, all right, I'll get you an interview, but don't disappoint me. Mm-hmm. Right? And like, you know, that sets you on the path of being closer to the brother, you know, sort of teetering your flirt with change, kind of emotional growth, but that's also for nefarious purposes. Like, that feels like a scene that I can sink my teeth into. Like, you would do, like, if the problem was, like, Jin, you're never getting back into heaven because you're a bad guy. They know you want to rob heaven. Like, you know, like, or, like, if you would have demonstrated this, like, that he gets sent to hell, and they would be like, shit, how am I going to do enough good stuff to get back into heaven? It would be like his brother's always nagging him to volunteer at the church, or he finds out there's some sort of loophole where if you become a monk, you get an automatic pass to heaven, and it would be like, he's like, I want to become a monk, or something like that.
Right.
Like, I would understand, like, that. I get what that is. Whereas right now, it just feels like we're playing a bunch of different stuff.
Again, does heaven know that the reason he is doing this stuff is to break into heaven?
I don't know.
Which is what I was getting at. It's like, again, if you can buy that when he gets to heaven, they're like, you've already gone through here. You know, you must be flowing in and out of a coma or whatever. You know, it's bureaucracy. We can't just keep scanning you every time. Like, you know, here's
okay,
the fast pass.
Yes.
You can ignore kind of like the specifics of like, do they know that, you know, every time he's going back to Earth, he's like doing all this bad stuff.
Okay, great. But what do we need the brother for?
Again, so thematically, the stuff I like with the brother, I like his brother being his conscious in terms of like his mortal soul. I really like the stuff that we came up with these two characters in terms of their point of view. It's like they both had a really bad childhood and they both struggled to survive. And one survived morally and another one survived practically. And Jin is, and again, the resentment is Jin's like, you're the older brother and you stayed poor and just like try to save your soul and stuff. And like, who cares about religion when it was all about like, can we get enough money to eat? Like, I'm the one that had to go sin in order to, you know, fucking rob, you know, bread and stuff like that so that we could eat. And the only reason, you know, mom has a house or anything is because I got money. Mm-hmm. So you can judge me all you want, but, you know, screw you. Like, I think that's a good dynamic between them. It does inform a sort of practicality with what Jin is. And again, I also get why he wants to be rich. He doesn't want to ever be on the street again doing, you know,
serving other people. Okay. So what does that give us for this scene?
Okay. So then, again, if we're saying, if he's coming in with doubt that either he can do this or that he's thinking about leaving, because yes, he thinks it's crazy and he can't do it on his own.
Mm-hmm.
It's still like, I think this scene does end with working backwards. If this is all about, the scene's going to end with him being like, yes, I can go do this. And to your point about the comparison of like, if his brother worked at a bank,
mm-hmm.
I'm just trying to think.
What's tripping me up is I don't even know what his emotional energy is coming into this dinner right now. Mm-hmm. Like, is he coming in because he has a specific thing he's trying to do and he's trying to pump his brother for information? Is he coming in thinking, I'm going to leave and I'm saying goodbye? If he doesn't know what he wants to do, is he looking to get advice from someone? Do you know what I mean? Like, that's what you would do if you feel doubt, right? You're like, I doubt, I need guidance. And then you would try to get guidance from someone, and then that would, you'd figure out what you want to do. Or you don't, and it causes you to do something.
I mean, I mean, to be specific. I mean,
okay, all right, but here, just to, because again, I want to keep things moving. So if you were going to do, hear me out, if it's as simple as this, like, if you had, because then I could also see if his brother does like a Buddhist Bible study, essentially, right? And he's like, hey, bro, I want to learn more about heaven, right? And he's like, you want to learn about heaven? Bullshit. You're probably just trying to work some scam. He's like, I swear to God, honest to God, I've changed my ways. I really want to know more about heaven. Like, what is it like? You know, I like blah, 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 right? Like, if that was the goal, then I would understand how the TV being on would be the conflict. Do you know what I mean? And like, he's trying to convince his brother of something that now his brother's going to be, you know, like, do you know what I mean?
His brother's like, his brother doesn't know he's a criminal, and he's like, I know you're a criminal. Or like, you haven't changed your ways or whatever.
Yes, if it's like, he knows
he must be trying to just hide because the police are looking for you, so you're going to become a monk now or whatever.
Yeah, what's really going on here?
Yeah, okay.
How are you on thoughts?
We're at 30 minutes.
Okay.
So here's the other thing that, you know, again, mom question aside, here's the other thing that I was thinking about, which is like, it feels like, if he's a no good dastardly criminal, right? Are we going down the wrong direction immediately because we feel some obligation to involve the brother? Like, can the brother be like the sort of like second half heat that comes into play that you have to plant a little bit? But like, here's all I'm saying. It's like, if I was him, the first thing would be like, it would be to prove it, be to test it. And he would take whiskey and he would start testing this thing. Like, he'd be flatlining it right away. He's been there. He's seen stuff. He doesn't need more intel necessarily. What is he going to get from the brother that's really going to help him in this quest, other than all the stuff he already knows? If you sidestep it with a fast pass wrist thing.
Okay. Yeah. Hear me out. This is insane. Could you do? Because everyone's told him to fuck off. If we got rid of Whiskey being a medical student, hear me out. This is very different.
Okay.
If you did that, his brother was a doctor instead of being a monk. Mm-hmm. Just hear me out. Maybe his brother's just very religious. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, volunteers at the church. He's a great guy. It would be, he would do this scene, would be in the middle of dinner. Jin has a fork and he looks at the fucking socket and he looks to his brother and then he makes excuses and then he sticks the fork in the socket and zaps himself with it and then goes to heaven, just basically banking that his brother's going to be able to revive him and he'll be able to scout out the joint more. Like, that would essentially be like the, I don't know, like the kind of crazy turn.
Okay, let's say his brother, runs, you know, a medical center in a impoverished neighborhood is what it is, right?
Okay.
And his brother is telling a story about somebody that was on the brink of death and they brought him back, which is just what happened to Jin. Mm-hmm. And then Jin realizes, like, yes, I can use my brother's, if it's like, I'm going to break into my brother's facility, and now his brother's impoverished charity, you know, run medical center is going to get caught up and become the head HQ of a crime organization that also puts risk where it's like his brother's gonna lose, right? You get to a point where his brother's gonna lose his hospital or whatever. Mm-hmm.
You can definitely have, like, you know, sort of religiously motivated, you know, health centers, so to speak.
Okay.
Yeah, they take anybody off the street that needs help.
It's a free clinic.
It's a free clinic.
Okay, so his brother's a monk who volunteers at a free clinic. He runs the free clinic.
I think he runs the free clinic.
Okay, we'll get into whether a monk would run a free clinic or not, but the, like, the
Dr. Monk would.
Dr. Monk.
It's me, Dr. Monk MD. I'm here to save you and then save you.
Okay. Yes, he works. Yes, he's on the, yes.
I don't know if that's realistic, but that is definitely the cleanest, that, because that is exactly what you're suggesting in terms of the bank thing. It's like, mm-hmm. his brother owns the train station to heaven. His brother has the medical equipment they need in order to do flatliners.
Yeah, I'm seeing this. It's, for example, the Hong Kong Buddhist Hospital, founded by the Hong Kong Buddhist Association. Mm-hmm. It provided 350 beds, whole bunch of beds, public community hospital.
Okay, all right.
So then he asks his brother, he wants to volunteer at his brother's hospital.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to go straight a little bit. It'd be nice if a couple hours, you know, maybe whatever you need. You know, maybe,
you know, 200 hours.
I'm even willing just to clean up the floors late at night.
Yeah.
Whatever. I don't expect you to give me, you know, like a top job right away. I don't want any nepotism involved. I just want to, you know, I'm just really trying to straighten things out and be a better person. And, you know, my nights are free. Maybe I could do that for you.
Okay. Okay. I like that. And then so the scene is going to end with his brother being like, okay, we'll give it a shot.
Yeah.
Essentially. Because
the fun of that is like, yes, you'll definitely have, you know, other workers or people being suspicious as he's there late at night. He's like, hey, I have to ask you this. Are you stealing?
Okay. Drugs? Yes. Yeah. I like that. Okay. And I think we can dive in. But what I was going to say is if we're going to do that, when is everyone leaving Hong Kong? This feels like a long con.
No. If you can buy this, and again, if there's just the acceleration of the scene, if you can buy how much he swindles his brother, mm-hmm. he convinces his brother he's so excited, and his brother, like, you know, he's like, seriously, I just want to do anything. And his brother, you know, tosses him the keys. He's like, I'll see you tomorrow morning or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then he goes, he busts into Whiskey. He's like, come with me. And then he runs and he just goes straight to the facility that night.
Yeah. And then he stops everyone at the airport because they all have flights at the same time because, you know, they're taking the first flights out, which is at the same time. And he stops them with a whole pile of gold coins.
In that case, what I would do then is it feels like the brother's like, sure, you can volunteer. We'll set something up next week.
Yeah.
Right? He's like, next week, that's no good for me. Can't we go over there tonight? Like, can't we just, like, you can show me the ropes? He's like, I can't do that, right?
Yeah.
But then you would do, he steals his brother's keys.
Ooh,
like, that should be the end of the scene, right? Yeah. Like, be like, oh, shit, I can steal his keys. I can swindle him.
Yeah.
And then, yes, he goes from that. And so, yes, the next thing is going to be Whiskey is at the phone about to get into the cab. You know, like, he sees the cab come up and it's Jin. He's got a gun. He's like, get in. He's like, oh, okay, yeah.
And then finally, that would be his brother's like, I can't believe you stole my keys. And then when his brother opens up like his office, is like, he put like, thanks big brother. He's like, yeah, I know I stole them, I shouldn't have done it. I just really wanted to bake you a cake and put it in your office and say thanks for giving me this opportunity.
Okay. Yes.
So sorry. He's like, oh, okay, yeah, just, you know, don't steal, you know, you shouldn't, it's a hospital, you can't really just go in whenever you want, though, but we'll deal with it. It's like, okay, yeah, sorry.
So here's what I would do. I would make a note that we're going to edit the previous scene. Mm-hmm. I think you have to have Tequila points out some of these obvious concerns, right?
Yeah.
He's like, do you have any idea how lucky you are to even be alive right now? Like, what are you going to just keep killing yourself and unkilling yourself? Like, how are we
going
to manage
the
that?
Real, like, world's nothing like my favorite movie, Flatliners. You can't just keep going in and out of stuff.
He's like, so yes, you would do something we can point out a little bit more of that so that, yes, his motivation right now is like, how am I going to figure this out?
Yes.
Essentially, right? Okay. All right.
So that's the scene.
All right, so let's fucking dive in. So the scene is, his goal is to get access to the free clinic. And his strategy essentially is going to be to tell his brother, try to convince his brother that he's changed his ways and he wants to volunteer there, right?
Yes.
Your obstacles are going to be the TV, which is slowly but surely describing him. And you would do that, his mom is watching TV, turning it up louder and louder, right?
Yes.
And then you would do, so he's got to keep his brother distracted from that. And then you would also do your kind of turn is, the brother's like, okay, I'll let you volunteer, but...
Yeah, I'll set something up next week. Cool. Can I do it tonight, though?
Can we go there? So when do we start? Can we start tonight? Yeah. He's like, oh, no, like, you got to do paperwork. We're going to have to set you up. Like, you got to meet my boss. He's like, so yes. And then he's going to decide he steals from his own brother.
Yes. Okay, last question, which is just the coming into the scene. Is his thought already, like, I'm going to use my brother's medical equipment? Or is he coming in here, like, again, not knowing?
I think he already knows.
Okay.
So the audience I think it would be weird if he didn't know.
Okay. So, yes, the audience is going to catch up onto what Jin is thinking.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Let's dive in. Let's do it. So, all right. Blah, 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 blah. Then his wallet rings again. He looks down and sees the smiling face of his brother dressed in the robes of a monk. Hope sparkles anew in Jin's eyes as Matt. Why is the font all fucked up? Interior. What's his brother's name? Shit.
Freddy.
Shit.
And Freddy. What's his mom's name?
Jimmy.
Interior. Freddy the Monk's apartment.
I like Freddy the Monk.
Hey, it's me, Freddy the Monk. Freddy the Monk definitely sounds like a gangster's name.
That's true.
I'm Freddy the Monk.
Hey, it's me, Freddy the Monk.
All right, his name's Freddy.
That's why he's really annoyed at his brother, because, like, even though he's a monk, he has the coolest gangster name. He's like, how are you the monk and you have the cool gangster name?
Okay. All right. Freddy lives with the mom? Are we really naming him Freddy?
Yep.
Hello.
Fuck you, Freddy.
Hi, guys.
Freddy lives with the mom.
All right.
Hi, guys. It's me, Freddy the Monk.
All right.
Well, I mean, they both live in the house that
I guess it's the mom's.
It's the
place,
mom's house,
right?
Yes,
like
the mom's place.
Okay, so interior. Freddy. And what's his mom's name?
Jimmy. what's the name for the mom? Any sort of female name?
Let's see. Asian females I know. You got Lily, Jackie.
I like Lily.
Lily. Yeah.
Lily's apartment. So what do we open on here? Do we open with him coming in the door? Is this where, like, in media res, the brother's telling some story? Like, we're kind of cutting off of the look of the brother. It feels like you could match cut to the brother in real life.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of thinking of in Frasier when we meet Niles. Like when they cut to Niles, he's telling this story about the gardener, you know, having a fight with Maris and he was locked inside the house because he was scared, right? So it's like, it kind of feels like, oh, who's the brother? Here's the brother, right? Mm-hmm. And it feels like maybe the brother is, like, telling this, like, big, dopey, sappy story, mm-hmm. right? Like, and we get a sense of, like, what a good-hearted guy he is, you know? Okay. So, yes.
Okay, yeah, I can see that.
Something
yeah.
like that, and then we can already just be in the conversation. That
you cut into the scene and just Jen is in the middle of doing the funky chicken or whatever.
Sorry, I'm late.
Well, that'll teach you to be late again. Oh, I'm always the one who does the funky chicken. It's not called the funky chicken. What is it called?
Just the chicken dance. We can call it the funky chicken.
The funky chicken. That's probably a weird cut, though, to, like, I don't know if I would
understand. To him just, like, gyrating his hips like a chicken.
In front of an old woman and a monk.
Like,
man
clapping
a monk you've never seen before.
I do like it because it's so weird.
Like, it'd be like the mom is, like, bringing soup or, like, food to the table as he's still doing it.
What if we cut to the brother and he's singing the chicken dance mm-hmm. song and clapping his hands yeah. and then you're like, what the fuck? And then you reveal Jin doing the chicken dance and the mom coming in with the soup and he's like, sorry, I'm late, guys.
Mom,
I guess,
tell him to stop.
Mom, tell him, yeah,
tell him to stop clapping to it. It's like, well, if you were late, you wouldn't have to do it. You know the rules, Jin.
Yeah.
And then you're like, okay, I get it pretty quick. It's like his brother is annoying him because he knows his brother knows he's going to get a little rise out of him if he's clapping and singing along. Yeah. And then his mom tells the audience that's because he's late, and this is what happens when you're late.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, oh, Jin's in a different, look at him. He's like a baby.
And then we
family.
Can get the brother saying like a blessing over the meal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right? Like, and then that can be his, like, you can do the classic.
Yeah, because
like,
the mom's literally putting the dishes out, or putting the food out.
Yes, yeah. So then Jin's about to chomp down, and then he's like,
Yeah.
And he's okay. like, yes. Yeah.
So yes, we cut to his brother as in a monk's outfit.
Okay, all right.
Clapping
yes,
and
it.
Laughing and singing the chicken dance.
Yep, it's happening. Yeah.
Okay.
Jin fed up, stops dancing, and complains to Lily. How old is Lily? 60s?
Yeah.
Yeah, 60s. Kind. 60s, kind-faced.
Kind, but doesn't know it.
Kind, but doesn't know
carrying
it.
Carrying a, setting bowls of soup.
Soup?
Huh?
That's a good dinner.
They're having soup. I don't know. They're setting, what do they have?
Get some rice in that motherfucker.
All right, setting bowls of rice.
Is it white rice?
Yeah.
That's all they have?
That definitely seems two white guys writing and seeing where Chinese people
up.
Are.
All right, let me back up here. All right, your conception of how a Chinese meal works is wrong. Right away, everybody. So this is how it normally works. You normally have a small bowl of white rice, and then you have a whole bunch of stuff in the middle of various dishes, and you're adding to that to your bowl. It's none of this crap where it's like you pile everything onto one bowl and you put it on the rice and you pour it. No, it's all separate, and you eat the rice like separate. Like,
that is actually
rice.
What I thought Chinese dinner was.
Yes, we live in L.A. where we can go get like legit Chinese food, so
yeah,
we know
a lot about Chinese.
Says the two guys I will note who every time I've had Chinese food with them, they are pouring stuff onto their plates.
Yeah, just because, I know how Chinese people do it doesn't mean I'm going to change the way I do it.
Touche. Touche.
All right.
Okay, so yes, there's an array of food on the table, and she's bringing the fresh steaming rice. That would be the last thing you'd put on a plate because you want it right out of the rice cooker.
Bowls of rice on mm-hmm. a table packed with delicious food. Mom, tell him to stop clapping.
Maybe her mom and her brother are in a bed like Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
like head to toe.
And there's two other people that we just never address. anyways.
Okay. Mom, tell him to stop clapping. It's humiliating. Yeah. All right. What's Freddy's prayer?
Good God, let's eat. Yeah, it's a very Christian.
Good food, good drink, good God, let's eat. There are several chants that are done before and after meals to express gratitude. This one, the five reflections or five remembrances is from the Zen tradition.
So he says those five things?
Yeah. So, all right. So they begin to eat?
Yeah.
Bro, how was work today? Right? Yeah. Or should Lily ask that to, or someone, No. Because remember, they called him during the car chase, right? So they could ask him about work and be like, yeah, it seemed like you were really busy because you didn't have time to answer my call, right?
Okay, what does he tell his family that he does?
Remind me what it is you do again.
Maybe he's a car. He says he's a car mechanic because they're safe house.
Or he's a taxi cab driver.
He's a taxi cab driver.
Yeah. I was, I had a really busy afternoon.
Had a real piece of shit of a, okay, language.
It's like, it was really crazy on the roads today. Yeah. And then you'd be like, oh, yeah, did you hear about that, that bank robbery?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, that reminds me.
Get caught up in that, did you?
That was right around your area. Cops shut down. I was trying to get groceries. Cops shut down all of, Wantai or whatever.
I think it was on the news. Let me see if I can find it. And then she goes to start doing the thing.
You
right?
Even have the brother be like, oh, mom, come on, we're eating. She's like, I want to see what I did, don't get a high-speed chase every day here. And then she turns it on. Yes, I like that.
Okay, all right. So
yes, her looking through the channels lets us kind of pivot to a little one-on-one with him and his brother. And then we would come back to the mom at like an inopportune time where he's like, really? Like, you're really thinking about, volunteering or whatnot. She's like, oh, here it is. So, oh, look, they might have found the person. This person's describing. And he's like, oh, shit. If they know that I was involved in that car chase, it's going to blow this whole thing up.
It's going to blow this wide open, mom.
They had a great shot of the taxi cab of the getaway chase on the TV. Let me see if I can find it.
Yeah.
You know what it is? You do the thing that's in another background gag where she's like, it's not on the news. I'm going to check YouTube. She's like literally like looking at all the different.
They had great footage of it on the news. Let me see if I can find it on YouTube. It was all over the news. Let me see if I can find it on YouTube.
YouTube not available in Hong Kong, actually.
Okay, well...
Online, whatever, yeah.
Let me see if I can find it online. And then, instead of her changing the channels, it's just her fiddling with the remote to try to type out, like, car chase Hong Kong today. And sort of, like, right?
This is not the car chase. It's just all, like, clips from the Fast and Furious movies.
It's like, best car chases. Yeah, it's just... Okay, that's hysterical.
And it's like, it's clearly...
Look, there it is! And it's just Dom Toretto doing...
Wow, they jumped a train.
Yeah. Oh, you could do something that's like, oh, look at that. They are nice boys. They avoided hitting this old lady. And you could have the brother maybe is a little judgmental. And he's like,
oh, he's like, give me a break.
Like, give me a break. Like, one little act doesn't get you into heaven or something like that. He's like,
I'll show you that.
Totally. Yeah. Fucking idiot.
Fucking dumb.
All right. Lily turns on her TV and starts. No screens at dinner.
Yeah.
Okay, so, Jin. So, how was work?
You bring anybody back from the dead?
Things going okay over at the free clinic?
Anybody die recently? Was anybody almost dead then not dead? Could somebody be dead then not be dead anymore? Okay. He's like, Jin, what's going on?
Oh, boy.
What do you do with dead bodies?
Oh, my God.
Oh, boy.
All right, so what happened?
Yeah, that's what I was getting to. What specific question is he trying to ask his brother?
So essentially what I would do is I would do that for the... He's working his way up. He knows they've got defibs. He knows they've got, stuff to bring people back to the life.
He wants access to this place at night. So is that... He's already figured that out. That's what he wants. Okay, so that's what it should be
I
about.
Think then what I would do is the brother's answer tells the audience why he's interested. Do you know what I mean? He already knows why, but it's like, so it'd be like, oh boy, it was crazy today. Like someone overdosed, and the doctors, like we thought he was a goner. The doctors brought him back with the paddles,
Like, oh man, looks like that chase was crazy. Did anybody get injured? Did anybody show up at your hospital or whatever?
No, but that makes it sound like he's asking about witnesses or something like that.
Yeah. Ultimately, all he's trying to do is I want to work at your clinic.
Yes, but he's bringing this up to pivot the conversation, right? Yes. And then the brother has it. We have an opportunity here where the brother's going to reply to him, and what the brother says can tell the audience something about why Jin is bringing this up.
He says the reason I didn't want to worry mom, but what was really crazy is somebody actually OD'd in my car. It was so terrifying. Like, have you ever, it seemed like he was dead. They brought him back, and I just thought, I could be doing more in this city. Can it be that this scary incident in his car was making him think that he would like to do more work at the... He's pivoting to be like, I want to work at your clinic. That's what he's setting up. That's the game he's playing, not trying
to... Yes, okay, so then, what I would do is this. Then what I'd say is, I had to rush him to the hospital, and the doctors brought him back to life. It was amazing. And I just thought, the hospitals you guys run are so important. And, I would really like to do more to give back. I could see that. Sure.
Maybe he has a hard time, but like, man, look at you. You're like a superhero. You brought people back to life. I've seen it, like, defib. Like, it's like, it's not usually like that. It's all. But no, but seriously, brother, like, man, I haven't given you enough credit. Like, it's really cool what you do. And, like, seeing somebody do it, it's like, I was thinking, I don't know, maybe it's dumb, but, like, maybe I could try to help out with that sometime or whatnot.
What would his job, what would his day-to-day at this place be? Like, he's not a doctor. He's not, like, in the fucking room, right?
Yeah.
Like, the,
I mean, you can just say that. It was wild. We had a lot of people coming in, and it was a, you know, can you just do that?
But the audience is going to want to know what he does. Like, they're going to be confused by that.
They pulled me in. I was giving last rites to this guy, and they brought him back. It was crazy.
Yeah.
That answers your question right there.
Okay.
I was in the cafeteria working on my doing last rites gig.
Okay. Yeah. So it's just weird because I don't know anything about like what he would do. So
you don't have to get into it. You can just
he gives last rites.
We can clarify that later.
He probably fundraises on behalf of the hospital, like the, you know, in terms of donations and stuff like that. Like he does administrative work. Oh my God, my brain's gonna melt. Okay. All right. Yes. How's work? How are things at the hospital? I like this. Like, oh, it's a tough one today. I gave last rites to 3 people. Oh, no, not Miss Wong. Oh, shit. Damn, they jumped a bridge.
Oh, subtle thing. One of them, the person, Mr. Wong, should be the person that wakes up next to Jin. It would be fun to go back and be like, oh, because these people died around the same time Jin died. So literally they're the same people that were on the boat.
Oh, that's cute.
That's fun. That's fun.
And he could be a character that he's like, oh, Mr. Wong, you were there with my brother, gave me the last rites or your last rites or whatever.
I thought I recognized you. Look
okay,
familiar.
All right. Okay. Sorry. I'm not trying to crush our riffs here. It was a tough one today. I gave last rites to 3 people.
I think the pivot is very quickly. He's like, yeah, it's, you know, it's tough. His kids were there. He's like, you know, and then again, it's the classic, like, wow, brother, like, you know, I give you a hard time, but like, that's really intense. Yeah. You got to be there for a family when somebody dies.
Oh, this is a good opportunity, Will, to use the famous line. You sure you're the real Jin? Hey,
did you have some sort of operation?
Hey, Jin. Tell whoever to bring my real brother back. Tell the hospital to bring my real brother back, because this one's not the person I know.
Are you okay?
Hit your head or something?
Do I need to call the Ghostbusters to check
your butthole?
Check out your butthole. Right. To make sure
there's no ghosts in there.
We have precious little time. We need to keep moving.
I'm just imagining a moment where like the lady's literally describing Jin, and then Freddie would be like, Mom, can you turn off that TV? Jin's thinking about volunteering at the hospital. She goes, click, like right in time. She's like, you're what? It's like, oh my God, like I knew I raised 2 good boys. That's so good of you. He's like, yeah. So anyways, I was thinking, like, can I like go down tonight, like check out the whole place or whatever? Like, I don't know, if you just make like her his brother believing and saying yes is what stops the,
oh, that's cool. Yeah.
So like this is kind of playing. He's kind of getting nervous. Like, yeah. So anyways, like I was really thinking I should volunteer or whatever. Like, I don't know. Like I'm just trying to think of like you build the tension a little bit with like the mom.
So he's moving in for the kill. He's like, I want to, you know, like I was taking.
I want to volunteer down there sometime.
Yes. He's like, I want to volunteer. He's saying like, the experience I had in my cab, this guy, you know, in the back seat almost died. I helped save his life. It really woke me up. And, you know, I kind of want to volunteer. I want to be in the action like you are, you know? Mm-hmm. And so maybe I could come along sometime. Yes. Right. Like, so this is the big kind of pivotal moment.
Yes.
And so you were saying like, so while this is going on, we see there's a kind of dramatic irony with like the mom seeing the sketch of Jin on the TV.
Yeah. You could do like, they're like literally going to draw the sketch. And then, Freddie's always like, Mom, can you turn off the TV? She's like, what? It's like, Jin wants to volunteer at my place. Like, you're almost concerned. Like, you could do, like, it would be, like, the moment he's like, so can I volunteer down there sometime? And his brother looks at him suspiciously. Mm-hmm. And then he looks up and he sees on the TV, they're talking about the person, and they're all doing it. And he's like, Mom, and then like, and then you're like, oh, what are they gonna see it? And she's like, turn off that TV, and then she turns
it off. Okay, so you have a kind of building tension of that. I like that. And then, so then what does the brother say?
The brother's excited, like, he's like, I can't believe this, he's gonna volunteer and whatnot. She's like, oh, I knew, you know, I know, you know, I've always said you're both good boys, you know, sometimes you, you know, I wasn't so sure about you, Jin, but look at that, you're gonna volunteer with your brother, it's so wonderful. And he's like, yeah, yeah, absolutely, actually, I really want to do it. In fact, can I go down tonight? It'd be really great if I could just check out the facilities, like, see where you, you know, use your defibrillators.
Bring people back, and then he's like, tonight, like, I can't do tonight, right?
Oh, I know you're in a rush to do some good works, but, you know, it's going to take a little bit of time, like a week or so or whatnot. And he goes, oh, okay. And then...
How do we get out of the scene?
And then he steals the keys.
But how do we get to him stealing the keys? That's kind of what I'm trying to get to.
Is it one of those, like, ellipses cuts where it's like, okay, mom, bye, and then, you know, they're at the doorway, and she's seeing them out, and he's like...
You could bear with me. It could be that they're so overwhelmed and surprised at this. And he's like, look, it'll take a week or whatever. He's like, oh, look at that. So disappointing. Here, tell you what. I was going to stop by tonight to drop off some files. First volunteer work, little bro. Go and drop them off.
No, he should steal them. Okay. He should steal them for sure. Okay. I feel like it's maybe something where it's like, he's like, oh, okay. And you could, he's like, well, hey, this is a great meal. Why don't I collect our plates, right? Uh-huh. And then you would just do, as he's collecting the plates, you would do the mom and the brother are talking like, this is great. You know, like, you know, he's always been kind of a rough customer. You know, he was, you know, like, I was always worried when he fell in with those gangs as a kid, but he seems like he's really turning his act around. And, you know, the brother's like, yeah, I got to say, I'm really proud of him. And you just do, while they're doing that, he moves the shit into the fucking kitchen, and then he finds his brother's keys and takes the key off and stuffs it in his pocket.
And his brother's keys has like a little, like, you know, keychain ID that says, you know, whatever.
It says Buddha is watching you.
No.
He's like, oh, and he takes the key.
No, the
I like that. What's wrong with that?
Oh no,
it's got the Buddha and he's holding the key.
Oh, but it's
like
got
this.
His badge for the
But it could be it's a Buddhist, what Freddie had, like, found that place, like Buddhist, you know, it's like, you know, Buddhist hospital or whatever.
Yeah, and so he swipes the badge.
And yes, the Buddhist hospital could have a phrase on it, like, you know, Taste of Heaven. Okay. Buddhist hospital sponsored by Ashton
Kutcher's Buddhist hospital. All right, so it feels like the scene.
Yes.
Okay. When we come back, the grand finale, the reading of the
grand finale of the movie. I was like, whoa.
The movie's over. This is the end of the movie. All right, when we come back, we'll read the scene.
There's nothing quite like sailing in the calm international waters on my ship, the SS Biopic.
Avast! It's actually pronounced biopic.
No, you dingus! It's biopic!
Who the hell says that? It's biopic. Because
it's the words
biology.
For biography and picture.
All right, that is enough. Ahoy, I'm Dave Holmes. I am the host of the rebooted podcast formerly known as International Waters, designed to resolve petty but persistent arguments like this. How? By pitting two teams of opinionated comedians against each other with trivia and improv games, of course. Winner takes home the right to be right.
What podcast be this?
It's called Troubled Waters, where we disagree to disagree!
Interior, Lily's apartment, night. Freddy, 33, a dweeby bespectacled goofball in the orange robes of a Buddhist monk, claps his hands and sings the chicken song as... Jin does the chicken dance in the middle of a tiny cluttered apartment. You know the chicken song, right?
No, what is the chicken song?
Jin, fed up, stops dancing and complains to Lily, 60s, kind-faced, setting out bowls of rice on a table packed with delicious food.
Mom, tell him to stop clapping. He knows it drives me crazy.
Sorry, that's the rules. If you're late for dinner, you do the chicken dance. Mean to Mom? That's a chicken dance. Fighting with your brother?
That's a chicken dance.
Okay, boys, time to eat.
Jin and Freddy sit down at the table. Jin grabs his chopsticks and is about to dig in when...
Ahem.
Lily shoots a glare to Jin, then nods to Freddy, who solemnly bows his head and offers a prayer.
We reflect on the effort that brought us this food and consider how it comes to us. We reflect on our virtue and practice and whether we are worthy of this offering. We regard greed as the obstacle to freedom of the mind. We regard this meal as medicine to sustain our life for the sake of enlightenment. We now receive this food.
The family begins to eat.
So, Kyle, how was your day?
Jin gives a shifty glance around as he stuffs rice in his mouth.
It was fine.
It seemed like you were pretty busy when I tried to call you earlier.
Yeah, sorry about that. Things were pretty hectic on the streets today.
Lily's eyes light up.
That's right. There was that big
bank robbery. Those maniacs were all over the road.
You didn't get caught up in that, did you?
No way.
They had some great footage of it on the news. Oh, you know, I never saw how it ended.
Lily turns on the TV and moves over to the couch to watch the evening news.
Hey, Mom, we've had no screen at dinner.
Well, don't be mean to your mom. You want to do the chicken dance?
Freddy gives a resigned chuckle. Jin gulps a swig of water and makes his move.
So, bro, how was work? Things okay down at the hospital?
Wolf. It was a tough one today. I gave last rites to 3 people.
Lily glances over from the TV. A news report replays footage from Jin's heist.
Oh, no, not Mr. Huang. Oh, damn, they jumped a bus.
Lily returns her attention to the action on TV and cranks up the volume.
Yes, I'm afraid so. Mr. Huang in 212 and Ms. Peng in 103 and a kid they brought in, actually. The family took it really tough.
Jin sighs, putting on an affect of being deeply moved.
Wow, man. They were lucky to have you there, to ease their transition and grief.
Freddy arches an eyebrow, surprised by Jin's uncharacteristic emotion.
Yeah, thanks.
No, seriously. I know I give you a hard time being, you know, a sap of a monk who doesn't do anything cool, but to be there when someone dies and help their family, that's really cool.
Cal, are you okay? You seem...
Jin glances to their mom, then leans in for a whisper.
Listen, I don't want to worry Mom, but I had a bit of a scare myself today. That's why I hung up on you.
Well, what happened? Are you okay?
Oh, hey, look at this. They almost ran down some old lady. Ooh, looks like she got a pretty good look at him.
On the TV, the news interviews the old woman that Jin almost ran over. Jin's eyes shoot wide in alarm. Freddy bristles, annoyed.
Not now, Mom. You were saying, bro?
Jin scoots his chair closer to Freddy, obscuring his view of the TV.
Yeah, a guy had a heart attack in my cab today. I had to rush him to the ER, and man, I was scared. But it turned out okay, and well, it's the best I felt in a while. I don't know. Maybe it's dumb, but I was thinking, you know, if you need the help, I could volunteer at the hospital sometime.
Freddy's jaw drops in astonishment.
What?
Just late at night, to start. You know, when no one's around, maybe I can, like, organize all the shock paddles and drugs that bring people back to life and all that. You guys have that stuff, right?
On TV, the news shows a police sketch that bears a stunning likeness to Jin. It's almost a frickin' photograph. Lily peers at it, squinting. She rubs her eyes, fumbles for something in her pocket, then calls back to the boys.
Have you boys seen my glasses?
Mom, turn that off.
Oh, all right, all right.
She turns off the TV. Freddy stands up, brimming with emotion.
Can you repeat to Mom what you just told me?
Ah.
I was just telling Freddy here that I want to start volunteering down at the hospital.
Lily stands up with an astonished gasp. Freddy stifles back tears.
What?
We've been so worried about you, little bro. You've been so withdrawn lately. We were worried. I'm ashamed to admit it.
We were worried you had fallen in with a bad crowd, like those hoodlums you ran around with as a kid.
Freddy grabs Jin in a big bear hug.
Oh, I'm so relieved. Oh, of course you can volunteer. I thought I'd never see the day.
A pang of anxiety on Jin's face. He's a bit startled by this outpouring of emotion.
Great. So, yeah, you think I could head down there tonight? You know, just to take a look around?
No. There's a bunch of paperwork you'll have to do, and you'll need an interview with HR. I'll put in a good word for you, of course. Well, with any luck, you can start next month.
Next month?
Freddy wraps Jin in another big hug.
Oh, this is going to be so great.
Yeah, can't wait.
As they hug, Jin spots Freddy's hospital badge attached to his keys on the table. He awkwardly pivots mid-hug, swipes the badge, and slips it into his pocket.
Oh, just a little coming in a little bit that way. Okay, sure, why not?
Sorry I touched you there.
All right.
Yeah. What do you guys think?
I think it's good.
That voice is a deep Freddy cut, by the way.
That seems like a real Ira Glass kind of voice going
this,
on.
This
right
voice
there.
This is the one I use. I call him. I have a character for this one.
this is a character.
This is a character bit I play.
Is this for your SNL?
This
audition,
is for my SNL audition. I do. It's Stuart, the most like pathetic Uber driver in the world. Hey guys, if you could just take off your shoes before you get in the van, please. I got some Jolly Ranchers in the back. They're all kind of sticky, and there's only green apple ones, so I hope you like green apple. Oh, did you want to listen to some music? I got the 3 public radio stations here on the AM radio ready to go. Oh, there's a charger cable back there if you needed to, you know. Oh, I don't think any of them are working, though, but, you know, you can use the cable if you need it. So.
That was great.
That was good.
That's a lot of Stuart. That was more Stuart than I thought we were going to get when you started that. All right, well, that's this week's scene. I'm feeling
a little bit brisker.
Yeah, a little snappier pace. Scene, though,
yeah, that's a big, long scene.
Nice little character scene.
All right. So now we can get to the heist.
Next week, he's going to, I guess, dragoon Whiskey at gunpoint to break into a hospital to knock himself. Him out. All right. So back to the two-fisted gangster action you crave next week.
Well, and I heard that there was some fan art. Maybe that was.
We got another very good TikTok from Nikki Miller. So thank you, Nikki. And we also got
is that
another.
What the kids are using these days.
The kids are all on TikTok these days, Stuart. We also got.
I got a Friendster once, and that was it.
Stuart's already over. Is
like this is a major character in the movie. He's gonna have this freaking voice.
Oh no.
So thanks again to Nikki, and we also got another freaking song from Robbie Alton,
who did
a song from Squishy the Messy Octopus.
Oh,
and it's another Robbie Alton.
Our red hot IP.
So thanks.
Is it kid appropriate?
You can find out how kid appropriate it is by visiting us on Twitter or at Facebook. Freddie, why don't you hit us with those links?
Oh, that Twitter is at RJ Storybreak. Oh, that Facebook though, that's bit.ly/StorybreakFB.
That Facebook though,
and you can hit up Stuart on Friendster.
Stuart's exclusively available on MySpace and Friendster.
I got two friends. One's a friend of mine from Nigeria. He keeps wanting to, you know,
Stuart's,
get me some money.
Stuart is only on Tinder, but he thought it was like the social. He thought that was like the new Facebook. So he's like, "Mom, you can just find me on Tinder. You just gotta find my profile."
I think you have to swipe right to accept it.
All right,
we can start chatting with each other.
My friend request. People are very forward on Tinder. Anyway.
All right.
Can you more Stuart? Do more Stuart.
Well, that's going to do it for us this week. Thanks so much, everybody, for listening to Story. Oh, if you could just make sure you wipe your feet on your way out.
On your way out of the podcast.
To Story Break.
If you could leave us a 5-star rating.
Oh,
on
and
Uber.
If you could just leave a 5 stars on the way out, that would be so great. I'm like kind of hovering at 4.62 right now, and I heard from my buddy Daryl that if it goes below 4.61, they'll cancel me from the service, and I'll have to do Lyft. So I don't want to do that.
All right, guys, this has been fun. Feels like one of those outros that keeps going and going and going.
It's because Lyft is for.
Oh my god!
Oh my god! That's Freddie Wong over there.
That's Freddie Wong. I'm Will Campos.
Matt
do
Arnold.
It.
The music faded up now. End this for fuck's sake.
We are the host of My Brother, and Me, and now, nearly 10 years into our podcast, the secret can be revealed. All the clues are in place, and the world's greatest treasure hunt can now begin.
Embedded in each episode of My Brother, and Me is a micro clue that will lead you to 14 precious gemstones all around this big, beautiful blue world of ours.
So start combing through the episodes. Let's say starting at episode 101 on.
Yeah, the early episodes are pretty problematic, so there's no clues in those episodes.
No, not at all.
The better ones, the good ones, clues ahoy.
Listen to every episode repeatedly in sequence. Laugh if you must, but mainly get all the great clues. My Brother, and Me, it's an advice show, kind of, but a treasure hunt, mainly. Anywhere you find podcasts or treasure maps, My Brother, and Me, the hunt is on.